41. A devastating wake.
But unlike a dragon, a Gangolin is fairly unintelligent by comparison.
From Colvinar Bryum's Bestiary for Conjurers, page 256. No longer shielded by Barjan, Calamir dropped to his knees, exhausted from the battle with the monster. Others did the same, exhaling sighs of relief. Mr. Aramian's shouts for Miss Tussara had faded as he moved away from the clearing. His tall conjurations stayed behind, standing around the now-dead monster. The Yeltis still had its sword in the monster's neck. Though it was dead, the monster twitched. Its tail bounced and its limbs shook, while pale orange blood pooled beneath it. Turning from the horrific sight, Calamir studied the survivors. 23 soldiers and mercenaries were slumped on the ground between the tree-like buildings, some resting on their weapons, others on their knees. Among those slumping were Maradin and Hevesir. A dozen mages were also resting in the grass, but a few, the friends of Mr. Aramian, were checking the survivors, accompanied by that winged creature.
"Where is Dardel?"
Calamir wondered, eyeing each of the survivors. But his second-in-command was not present.
"Oh, Dardel."
Calamir dropped his Tevisral weapon. Blade and flame vanished before the hilt landed on the grass.
"I've lost too many,"
he lamented. They had left Soroth with 300 men and women, and now not even a sixth remained. He must do all he could to see the rest to safety.
"Are you all right, Commander?"
Calamir looked at Mr. Cheval, the Barjanist, and fought back a scowl.
"I'm not wounded, if that's what you're wondering."
The Barjanist nodded, and Calamir glanced back to the monster.
"If only we had left sooner.
If it hadn't been for that Mindalornian harlot, perhaps they could have departed before the monster arrived."
"It's her fault."
"Whose fault, sir?" Maradin asked. Calamir turned toward the squad leader, who was standing beside Mr. Cheval.
"Mistress Rudal," he replied, and reached for the weapon.
It burst once again with flame, and the blade appeared as it had before.
"That'll be troublesome to carry."
"Speaking of Vayum," Morjadayan said, "I lost control of the Barjan binding her."
Maradin narrowed his eyes at the Barjanist, then turned back to Calamir.
"It's fine," Calamir said, waving his hand in a dismissal. "She can rot in this prison."
He glanced past Maradin, watching the soldiers and mercenaries now on their feet.
"Get everyone back to the camp. We need to salvage anything we hadn't taken to the pit."
Amandal rode his cistern around the Tuladine homes, shouting for Felinia. He had ridden a considerable distance, but hadn't found her. Though he continued shouting, he shifted his focus to his conjurations, which still stood around Orathisian. The earthen giants held their weapons at the ready, while the Yeltis kept its blade in the monster's neck. The monster had stopped convulsing, but Amandal didn't want to take any chances. Frustrated, he willed one of the earthen giants to kick the lifeless monster.
"Felinia, where are you?"
He continued weaving around the towering homes. How far had Orth Issian thrown her? Through his conjurations, he sensed the survivors stirring. The blades his conjurations wielded became dim, and then they lost cohesion, turning to piles of dirt that covered Orth Issian. He turned the Yeltis as Morjadayan approached the conjurations.
"We're leaving, Amandal,"
the Barjanist shouted, then related old Kali's plan to return to camp and then head to the pit.
"That still gives me time to find her," he thought.
Morjadayan hurried away, and soon the conjurations were alone with the dead Orath Issian. After he'd rounded several of the tree-like buildings, the fluttering of wings carried overhead. Finch descended in a dizzying dive, then zipped around Amandal.
"You need to come with me,"
Finch said, his voice more nasally than usual.
"I haven't found her yet," Amandal said. "I have to find her."
"But bad things will happen."
Amandal cocked his head at the winged creature, who kept pace with the cistern.
"What are you talking about? We're not in any danger."
Finch blinked several times before answering.
"The wrinkly one will leave you behind."
"Then stay with me," Amandal said.
The others can't leave without you, right?
Yes, but...
Finch's trunk stiffened.
Scary things will happen if you don't leave now.
What do you mean? Amandal asked.
No.
The old codger had warned him of powerful forces converging upon Tardalim. But how would Finch know about that? And was it even true? Amandal squinted at Finch while raising his chin.
Did the codger speak to you? What did he say?
Finch blinked again, looking unsure.
What is codger?
An old man with a red robe, Amandal said, then shouted once more for Faelinia.
The scary two legs? Finch asked. Oh, he was scary. Made me feel sick. He showed me scary things. But he said they wouldn't happen if you left right now.
Amandal stopped his cistern and turned to Finch. Scary things? Had the old man really visited Finch?
You saw him?
Finch nodded, his trunk still stiff. Sighing, Amandal looked about and shouted to the codger.
If you want me to leave, tell me where she is.
He waited for a reply, but none came.
Figures.
Amandal grunted and wheeled his cistern into a gallop. Finch kept pace beside him, muttering about the frightful scenes that would occur if they didn't flee at once. As Amandal searched, one of Ildan's illusions descended and floated beside him.
We're headed to the pit, the illusion said. I have your pack and Calamir is determined to leave without you. I'm not leaving without her, Amandal said, and then shouted for Faelinia. Besides, you need Finch to leave and he's going to stay with me.
The winged creature trembled.
He doesn't look so sure about that, Ildan said.
We can't stay, Finch said. Bad things will happen.
The illusion's face tensed.
What bad things?
Finch trembled, muttering incoherent babble.
What's wrong with him? Ildan asked.
His scary two legs, Finch said. He...
Amandal shook his head.
He's referring to the codger. Seems he's bothering Finch now.
Ildan's illusion looked unsettled.
I'll keep looking for her, Ildan said. I can cover more ground than you anyway. Just head to the pit.
Finch flew away, disappearing around one of the tree-like buildings. Amandal grumbled to himself.
Damned codger. It doesn't look like Finch will stay, Ildan said. I don't think you want to be trapped in here, and I don't want to have to tell your parents that their son is stuck in damnation.
Listen to him, the codger's voice boomed. Leave. Now.
Amandal sucked in his breath. No, he didn't want to be trapped in this place, but he couldn't abandon Faelinia. If only I could conjure in here.
Let me guide you to the pit, Ildan said, and I'll send some illusions to search for Faelinia.
Amandal shook his head. I can find it with my conjurations. He willed the earthen giants and the Yeltis to run back toward the tower. With any luck, he could catch up to the others at the camp.
Fine, Ildan said, but let me help you get the right heading. You're awfully stubborn.
Sighing, Amandal turned his cistern toward where Finch had disappeared.
Lead the way.
Sylas abruptly opened her eyes as pain spread through her entire body. She lay in a strange place, somewhere she didn't recognize. Before she could focus her eyes, she gasped for breath, but that only made the pain worse.
What happened? She wondered. Where am I?
The pain clouded her thoughts as she tried recalling her most recent memory. She had been on the tower with Fendar. A sharp pain radiated through her side. She had broken several bones.
I fell?
A terrifying image came to her, the face of that horrendous creature. A dull ache permeated her back and she suddenly felt cold.
Have to heal.
Closing her eyes, Sylas focused on accessing the Arpran channel. She struggled to say the words but only managed to mouth them. That wasn't enough. Starting over, she slowly exhaled the words to the incantation. She felt the rejuvenating particles appear around her hands, and she willed them to her chest. Through her magic, she sensed a shattered rib. She struggled to say the words to the incantation as the fragments of bone aligned. As they re-knit, she ran out of breath, and the magic faded. Sylas fought against the pain and struggled to focus.
As an Arpranist, she had been trained to muster her magic amid anguish, but she had never experienced it to this extent. After a time, she once again reached for the Arpran channel and exhaled the words. The Arpran particles appeared more abundantly than before. They penetrated her broken chest, where more ribs had been cracked and snapped. Luckily for her, none had pierced her lungs or her heart. Unfortunately, the magic faded before she could complete the spell, but she managed to recast the incantation. Eventually, she mended the bones in her chest and the surrounding tissues. Now that she could breathe, Silas glanced about the strange room. It was a maroon color with smooth walls and a rounded ceiling. The floor, too, felt curved. From what she could tell, it was the size of a large bedroom, but it was nothing of the sort. Strange-looking bowls, looking almost like seats, protruded from the wall. Were those perches for Fench's people?
Perhaps I'm in one of those tree things.
She tried to sit upright, but her back refused. A sudden surge of alertness swam through her, and she mustered more of her magic. Now that she could breathe, Silas could maintain her incantations for much longer. The rejuvenating particles fused the bones of her back and mended the fleshy parts along her spine. Feeling returned throughout the lower parts of her body, and she screamed as sharp pains surged up her legs. Shattered bones dug through muscle, though none pierced her skin. Breathing heavily, she pressed her head into the floor, gasping. Tears filled her eyes and soon trickled to her ears.
I must focus, she told herself, and struggled to control her breathing.
Concentrating on accessing the Arpran channel once again, she whispered the words to the rejuvenating incantation. The green light surged to her legs. She managed to repair the bones before succumbing to the pain. She closed her eyes and tried focusing on the magic again, but her mind wandered. What had happened to Fendar? And what about the others? She strained her hearing, but all was silent. Had the Orath monster killed them all? Through her mind's eye, she envisioned the dead sprawled across the clearing outside the Tuladyne's tower.
No, she chided herself, you can't think that way.
Once again, she mustered her magic. After repeating the incantation several times, she was made whole. Silas pushed herself upright and studied the room once again. A round opening was on the wall opposite those strange bowls, leading to the roost.
I must have fallen through that, she thought, and wobbled to the opening.
Though she had mended her body, her limbs felt as if they were asleep. The opening was the same size as a door, large enough for her to fall inside it. She braced herself upon the opening's edge and peered through it. Those strange tree-like buildings stood all around, and the Tuladyne Tower rose in the distance. She looked down, gauging the distance to the roost's grassy ground.
Over 3 stories, she thought, swallowing hard. Probably 4.
Silas turned around, studying the room. Another hole, half the size of the opening where she stood, was along the far wall and led to a cylindrical tunnel.
A hallway?
She hurried toward it and peered inside. Other tunnels branched off it. Hopefully, she could find a way down. Unfortunately, she found that the tunnel-like hall led only to other rooms and halls. None descended, but several rooms had openings to the outside. Standing at another opening, she stared at the ground below her.
I'll have to jump.
It was not the first time she had leapt from a staggering height. During her middle years at the Sarathian Magical Order, the Arpranist Masters had tasked Silas and her cohorts with a peculiar exercise: jump off the roof of the Order's record hall while maintaining an Arpran aura.
This is almost twice that height, she whispered.
Sucking in her breath, Silas mustered her rejuvenating magic. She concentrated it on her legs, but left some lingering through her torso. After finishing the incantation, she stepped through the opening. She gasped as wind rushed past her. The bones in her legs cracked as she landed, but mended as she fell forward. Her face met the teal blades as the Arpran magic re-knit her bones and flesh. The aura faded as the pain vanished.
Master Agassan would be proud, she said with a chuckle, pushing herself to her feet.
A familiar voice hailed her, and she spun to see an illusion of Ilden descend beside her, settling a finial off the ground.
"You're alive!
We thought the worst."
Ilden's illusion set its jaw, his lips contorting with worry. Had the battle been that bad? She turned from the illusion and looked about.
"You haven't seen Fendar, have you?"
"No," Ilden said. "I've been looking for Felenia. The monster hurled her away."
Salas sucked in her breath and turned, looking back to the Tulidine Tower.
"He was to my left,"
she thought, recalling Fendar's position on the bridge. From where she stood now, he would be to her left somewhere.
"Can you help me find him?"
she asked, hurrying around the building she had come from.
"I think he's over here."
Ilden's illusion sped past Silas, and she struggled to keep up with it. After rounding several of the tree-like buildings, she stopped to reorient herself. It all looked the same.
"It's like searching a maze," she thought. "Where are you, Fendar?"
The illusion disappeared around a building, but soon returned.
"If only the monster hadn't destroyed the map," Ilden said, and his illusion sped upward.
"Is that why it attacked the tower?"
She swallowed hard as the illusion descended, pointing over her shoulder.
"I think I see something over there."
Heart pounding, Silas twirled and followed the illusion, zigzagging around the strange structures. Several buildings away lay a black-haired man in a gray robe, his face buried in the grass. Her eyes widened as she ran, screaming Fendar's name repeatedly. But the man didn't move. Though his face was buried in the grass, she knew it was Fendar. She fell to her knees beside him and turned him over. His eyes were frozen, his mouth agape.
"No. Oh, Fendar."
She cried the words to an Arpran incantation as tears streamed down her face. The green light formed and wisped into Fendar. But nothing happened. The illusion settled beside her.
"I'm sorry, Silas."
There was a long pause before Ilden spoke again. "The others are moving toward the pit. They're almost there. And Kalamir is of no mind to wait for anyone." Silas wrapped her arms around Fendar's lifeless body, sobbing. "I'm going to continue searching for Felenia." The illusion rose, but Silas could barely see him through her tears. "Hopefully I'll see you with the others." Sobbing, Silas held tight to the man who had long been her friend and, more recently, her lover. He was no Amandal Aramian, but he would have been a great partner in life. Grass crunched nearby. Startled, Silas jerked her head toward the noise and gasped as Felenia stumbled around a nearby building, her left hand attempting to steady herself against the bark-like wall. She called for Silas in a strangled voice and wobbled, her left leg buckling. Blinking her tears away, Silas stood and hurried toward Felenia. She couldn't lose another friend. Green light surged around Silas as she uttered an Arpran incantation. Felenia stepped away from the building and fell forward, clutching her abdomen. She landed face first with a groan. Panic struck Silas's heart and she ran faster. She finished her incantation as she knelt beside Felenia, and the green light surged into her friend. Amandal's cistern galloped along one of the rivers flowing toward the pit. When his conjurations had spotted it, he insisted that Ilden send his illusion to continue searching for Felenia. The illusionist was reluctant, but after some persuasion, he complied. The river wound around several tree-like buildings and then flowed into the large clearing with the pit at its heart. Many of the expedition's packs were still along the river's bank, but no one was there except Ilden and the three conjurations. The illusionist stood 200 finials away on the stone walkway that divided the pit from the river's perfectly shaped overflow. An earthen ramp spanned the 24 finial wide ring of water, probably made by Dougal or some other transmuter. "Faster," Amandal urged the cistern, and the beast sprinted. It was no Yiddos, but riding it was better than running. Now that the battle was over, his feet were beginning to throb. "If only I had someone to rub my toes." The cistern darted up the earthen ramp, but Amandal slowed it once it reached the walkway. The surface was barely wide enough for three men to walk abreast, and Amandal didn't want to fall.
"Fendar is dead," Ilden said as Amandal approached.
The illusionist looked solemn, and tears brimmed in his sapphire eyes. He lifted the pack beside him and handed it to Amandal. "And Silas?" Amandal asked, slinging the pack over his shoulders. "She's fine. I think she's still with Fendar's body. And I haven't found Felinia." Amandal frowned and glanced to the pit, searching for the others. If the pit were a hole in the wall, it would be at least 8 stories tall. Its depth, however, was staggering. By his estimation, its floor was probably over 130 stories below the roost. Well, not really below. From what he remembered of Tartalim's 3-dimensional map, the pit actually ascended. Directions like up and down could not be trusted while in Tartalim.
"We should go," Ilden said with a sigh. "I'll keep the illusions searching until we're ready to step outside. We have till the sailors arrive. They should be out of the treasury soon."
He turned, walking toward a ramp along the pit's walls. It descended in a corkscrew, but Amandal couldn't see where it met the bottom. The others were across the pit, only a few stories below him and Ilden.
"Best I dismount," he thought, and slid off the cistern.
The beast looked too big to descend the ramp. The other conjurations wouldn't fit either.
Well, their barjans are still active.
While hurrying after Ilden, Amandal willed the conjurations to the stone walkway. They were about to jump when Fench flew across the pit. The winged creature fluttered beside Amandal, keeping pace with him. He wore the oversized helmet and held a strange gray bag that was stuffed to overflowing. It was partly closed, the disintegrating rod sticking out of it.
"You have to hurry,"
Fench said, pushing his oversized helm above his eyes. Amandal raised an eyebrow.
"And you should stay close," he said, and sent one of the earthen giants over the edge.
The rocky behemoth plummeted through the pit. When it reached the bottom, its barjan shattered, and so did its legs. Amandal winced, but there was no pain, as there would be with bestial conjurations.
"Well, that's not going to work."
"Do you need more barjan?" Ilden asked.
"Probably several layers. Tell Morgie to be a good boy and protect my pretties."
The descent to the bottom of the pit took almost half an hour. Morgidion had covered the cistern, the Eltis, and the last remaining earthen giant in 10 layers of barjan. Not wanting to succumb to any pain in case Morgidion's efforts failed, Amandal hurled the elemental into the pit to test the barjan. Each layer shattered, but the conjuration held together. Still, Amandal thought it prudent that Morgidion cast a few more layers on the Eltis and the cistern. All but one of the Eltis's barriers shattered, while 3 held true around the Ice Wolf.
"Seems you were right," Morgidion said as Amandal stepped off the ramp. "When did you become an expert in barjans?"
Amandal chuckled and patted his friend on the shoulder. Old Callie was shouting orders for everyone to continue through a wide corridor. It was almost twice the width of Tartalim's other halls and was barely longer than it was wide. The squat hall ended at a pair of doors identical to those in the room where they had sought refuge after fleeing the crystal halls.
"Hopefully we won't need Bayam to open it."
During their descent, Ilden had said they couldn't find her or Kaidal at the camp, and old Callie wasn't of a mind to chase after her. Once the survivors neared the doors, the symbols upon them began to glow. Fench fluttered to the massive slabs, and they swung open as if reacting to his presence. If Amandal hadn't known any better, he would have thought he was looking at Tartalim's entrance. The exit chamber rose 4 stories and was as wide as it was tall, lined with ornate pillars. 200 finials from the doors, a shallow but wide staircase led up to a semicircular space slightly wider than the room. Part of the semicircle's floor was sunken, a perfect circle about the size of Tartalim's halls. Once inside the exit chamber, the soldiers and mercenaries dropped the packs and sat against the walls while Fench flitted to Calamir. The old soldier marched up the shallow staircase and stopped short of the sunken floor. Amandal was quick to follow. He was not about to let anyone leave, not with Felinia still missing. From what he could tell, that sunken floor was engraved with glowing symbols all arrayed in a spiraling pattern. His friends followed after him, chatting about the chamber.
"Is that how we escape?" Dougal asked.
Well, we did come in through the floor, Morjadian said. It only makes sense since going up takes us to the sphere's center.
Jacob groaned and wobbled from Amandal and the others.
All these jumbled directions make my head hurt,
the necromancer groaned again.
I need a drink.
Dougal gave Jacob a sidelong glance.
When don't you need a drink?
When I'm sleeping.
A faint hum filled the room as Finch touched the center of the sunken floor. Amandal ascended the steps just in time to see the etched symbols glow with myriad hues. Their colors shifted until all became white. Amandal stopped beside the old soldier, but the man didn't look at him.
I want my crystal back.
Old Callie sighed and looked over his shoulder to the survivors.
I suppose that's not an unreasonable request.
He tugged at the armor padding around his neck and pulled at a golden chain.
Here.
Amandal snatched the necklace as the sunken floor separated along the spiral patterns, quickly receding into what was now the walls of a deep shaft.
It's open,
Finch said, and fluttered toward Amandal and the old soldier.
Good.
Calamir spun to face the others and shouted orders for them to stand and leave.
What about the sailors?
Ilden shouted. Shouldn't we wait for them? They're just leaving the campsite.
And Sylas is still out there, Morjadian said. Are you going to leave her behind?
Calamir studied the mages and set his jaw. With a scowl, he turned to Finch.
Do you have to open anything else?
Finch nodded and pointed into the shaft.
We all have to move down there, but once we do, we can't come back.
Calamir grumbled and stepped to the edge.
You have until the sailors arrive. Then we're leaving this place.
He sighed and stomped back down the shallow steps, moving toward Hevesir and another soldier from Squad 1. Amandal, however, moved to the edge of the shaft. It was longer than the one connecting the crystal halls to Tartalim. Most of it was transparent, like glass. A white stone walkway, perhaps 10 finials wide, circled the shaft in a corkscrew pattern. Faint, pale blue light ebbed and flowed outside the glass-like sections. His friends gathered around him, each peering into the shaft.
I think I'm gonna vomit,
Jacob muttered and spun away. Morjadian knelt beside the shaft's edge.
It's like a bridge. An odd one, though.
Why do you think the path is a corkscrew?
Dougal asked. The transmuter and barginist speculated about the shaft while Amandal turned to Ilden.
Any sign of Felinia?
The illusionist shook his head. As Amandal turned back to the shaft, a faint shout echoed into the exit chamber. He focused through the Yeltis and directed the beast's gaze upward. Two figures hurried along the edge of the pit, but he couldn't tell who they were. More shouts echoed down the pit as the figures darted to the ramp. The other survivors stirred as Amandal descended the steps.
Do you hear that? He asked Ilden.
The illusionist nodded and began uttering an incantation.
Who is that?
Calamir demanded. A small brown bird flew from Ilden and sped past the conjurations at the bottom of the pit. Amandal watched it climb, but before it reached the top, Ilden shouted,
It's Sylas and Felinia!